My guest today is countless thousands. I'm going to play a track from a demo CD that was brought in, and we're going to do some talking. We'll do some live music. We'll do some more talking. It's going to be great. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. This is Countless Thousands. Listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Countless Thousands. How's it going, man?
It's going quite well. How are you today, sir?
I'm not unwell, thank you.
You're not unwell. It's fantastic.
Happy New Year. You're the first act of 2007 on Is Good.
It's kind of an odd responsibility to be the first of the new year. I want to set a good example, but I also want to, I don't want to upstage the folk that may come, because it's going to be an amazing 2007. We're going to have a really good 2007. Better than any other 2007 we've ever had.
I think you should make an effort to do the worst possible job today you can, so that I can only get better and better. You know, the shows can get better throughout the year.
Cool.
So I want you to intentionally, like in the middle of the song, change key for no apparent reason. And
throw an Aerosmith cover for no reason.
Oh, that would be fantastic.
Okay, cool.
And if you could do like a white boy rapper interlude in some of your songs, that would be good too.
Yeah, yeah.
So what's your name? What is Countless Thousands?
My name is Mike, Michael Joseph Van Gorder. Countless Thousands is the moniker I've given to my musical project. I've been playing guitar for 4 years, and I've been playing music live for about a year and a half. So,
and where are you from?
I am from Garden Grove, California. So, Orange County, not the OC. It's Orange County. Thank you.
That's funny. That was a point of contention for another artist here a while back.
So
the show is kind of ruined.
The show has ruined it. We see the logo everywhere, and we're like, "Is that what people think of us?" Because there is the portion of people who are the, you can't see the bunny ears on the radio, but I'm doing the bunny ears, quote unquote, OC people who are like really like, you know, they got the plastic surgery, the over blonde hair, the legs that have no body mass. But you really only find those in concentrated portions, and the rest of Orange County is pretty, you know, I want to venture to say normal people. We have good food.
I'm looking forward to them to do a show called Mid Wilshire to explain the neighborhood where we do.
That would be the MW, actually.
And it would be, you know, mostly a lot about public transportation and fruit stands and and the police, of course. Countless Thousands, is that, so what you're saying is basically that it's an extension of you, Mike, as opposed to a band that kind of formed?
By necessity, it is an extension of me. I've been playing music live for 2 years now. I was playing with a couple friends of mine for about a year, and we were calling ourselves, sorry, I'll lean in closer. We were calling ourselves Everyman, and then apparently there's a band on the East Coast called Everyman, so we changed it to We Are Everyman, and that continued on, and we tried our hand at that, and it turned out we didn't really work well together, so they went off and did their own thing, and I changed my name to Countless Thousands, which was the name I had wanted to give the project, but it didn't find favor among the rest. But to keep things democratic, I was, you know, cool with calling it whatever. And then
how did that name occur to you?
I'm really interested in just like the marginalized, the things that we don't see, that we don't think about, that have power. I don't want to get too philosophical. I'll leave that for the songs. But I'm just really interested in like the stuff we don't think about, that because we don't think about it, it has power. So I like to think of like just large amounts of people that the marginalized, you know, the oppressed, maybe not the oppressed, but just like the potential that's in everything, everyone, whether or not they choose to realize it or act on it. There's, you know, it's Countless Thousands.
Right.
You know, it was going to be the huddled masses, but I felt that was too Death Cab for Cutie-ish.
Yeah, so. Too on the nose. Awesome. Well, why don't we jump into a live song, and then we'll talk about the whole process. What are you going to play for us first?
I'm going to start with a song called Manifest.
All right, you're listening to Is Good on KillRadio.org. My guest is Countless Thousands.
Dive and grace.
tanks and cannons, thousands sent, shells and bullets melting head. And as artillery responded to the raising of LA, still we heard that flame burn sing, songs of life and death were sent. And I had woken with so many plans of shit to do that day. Woken with so many plans of shit to do that day. And every gas and grandly eruption, sending skyward SUVs, floating pitching marked my handicap. Flew off toward the sea. I scrambled for my bike, unused since Christmas Day in 92. Swerving round my car's cadaver, I pedaled forth in search of you. To a distant screech, I found you over a breathless, frenzied embrace. Disneyland burning behind, wind and good on our escape. A phoenix set in East on Vegas, miles away we stand relieved. And all since scorched as we nodded off to sleep, I heard you say, I had woken with so many plans of shit to do.
Nice.
Yeah, sorry, it's an abrupt ending.
that's great. Wow, where to start? We were. I want to ask you, because I think you have a unique style of playing guitar. I think it's pretty obvious the way it comes through your music. Before we get into that, we were talking before about the name Countless Thousands and how you didn't want to get too philosophical because you wanted to save it for your music. So tell me about the writing, the lyrical aspect of your music. Do you use it primarily to get ideas out, or, you know, like a lot of musicians are singing about love or a past life experience? Is yours more abstract? Tell me about that process.
I don't know. I want to, when I write lyrics and poetry and that kind of thing, that's the best way that I can articulate pretty much just how I feel. My girlfriend Jessie and I were talking about this the other day, and I'm really no good at improv, like, at all. Like, I can't spontaneously come up with anything off the top of my head and have it, like, be good or anything. That's why I'll never be a freestyle rapper. And my respects for those people who can do that. That's, like, one of the most unbelievable talents you can have is to freestyle and just come up with just poetry off the top of your head.
So you write and rewrite and
Yeah, so it's a process of, like just chipping away at the marble until something makes sense. But, yeah, so I work best when I, like, take, like, 4 hours out of my day. Just sit down and just okay, that's really good. No, that's no good. All right. Because I read a lot, and I've always had a very, let's say, unique grasp of language and large words. I'm still, like, the only person I've ever heard of that's taught themselves to read. And I'm trying to not make that sound egotistical. I'm just saying that that's, like, I've always been just fascinated with words and language. And
so teaching yourself how to read, do you think that had a large influence on getting into lyricism?
Just basically in general, just falling in love with the written word and just reading just massive amounts of just as much as I could. I was always the kid that was like, go to the library and like bring a bucket, you know, and just walk out with like my arms full of choose your own adventures and that kind of thing. And just like, because I was awkward, I guess that's another reason I didn't do well in social environments. So I'd hold myself up in my room and just be like, okay, the words accept me, that kind of thing.
Oh, wow.
And I mean, I'm not that bad. It's, you know, I'm trying to be charming right now.
No, but I think that's a that's a very, I don't know, that seems to fit in with, that makes sense why someone who experiences the world that way would go into music. Because in music, you can take words and you can mold them in a way that it doesn't have to make sense.
Right.
You know, it doesn't have to necessarily rhyme. It doesn't have to tell what's the word I'm looking for? Like a consecutive, you know, a story that follows a chronological format. You know, you can do whatever you want, basically, as long as it's music.
Yeah, I do agree with you. Most of my, because I come from short story writing. I really didn't start writing poetry or lyrics until a couple of years ago. So I've just learned to be very story oriented in my songs and just real linear and like, because like I said, I'm really bad at articulating myself well, like off the top of my head. So I use my songs to really communicate all the, you know, the just the most powerful, potent feelings that I have inside me, because that's like the best way I can get at it. Like, I have a couple songs, Righteous Indignation songs, that are about a certain person. Who knows who that person is? And I could never like sit there and say, this is how I feel about you, and you know, how dare you, that kind of thing.
The president listens to your music?
Actually, I've gotten some proof that her deadbeat boyfriend actually listens to the Countless Thousands. He made some references to my lyrics when talking. When I was really vindictive one day, and I was like, hey man, how you doing? Oh, it's been so long. I totally miss you. Well, I hope you're not still seeing that. I don't want to say. But, and he wrote me back. It's like, oh, well, your music sucks and you're an ass. So I'm going to go now.
Awesome. Yeah. Let's talk about the guitar. You play in such a way that would lend itself to finger bleeding, I think. A very manic way of playing the guitar. Did you teach yourself how to play guitar, and how did you develop that style?
I've never had a guitar lesson. I've never done. I don't know. I was really, really frustrated when I first started playing guitar, because I would listen to my favorite band, The Weaker Thans, and just listen to the stuff that their guitarist Steven would come up with. And I'd be like, oh, how did he do that? And I'd just sit there for hours, like with reading. I would just sit there and slow it all down and just listen to that one passage over and over until I could figure out how to go from there. But beyond that initial, like, breaking through that frustration, I don't know. I'm a very excitable person, and I just think that spills into my guitar style.
You ready to jump into another live song?
Yeah, sure. Let's do it.
What do you got?
Let's go with, this is my weepy song. I call it The Scientist Applies for a Grant but is Denied. Started off as a Coldplay cover, and then my drummer at the time decided that I was an idiot for making a Coldplay cover, and she refused to play it until I wrote my own lyrics. And that's one of the best things she ever did for me, so thanks. Yeah. You know who you are. Thanks, man.
Well, awesome. Well, you know what? After this, we'll talk about collaborating with other musicians and filling out the sound, because I'm sure
that's an interesting story. That's going to take up the rest of our interview, but let's do it.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org, and my guest is Countless Thousands.
Made a big mistake. Oh yeah. Happy birthday. Yeah, mine was fine. You're so kind to ask. The shins were great, yeah. I'm so enraged and I'm so ashamed. Well, I could be the most important thing in the air that you breathe, or the food that you eat, or the place where you sleep, or the dreams that make you cry and wake up. Just let me be your biggest mistake and I'll call. Just ask you, do you still love me? As a friend? No, I don't care in any sense. Come on. September, November, December. Remember as the embers of our ashen months as one will rise and drift apart. I'm so enraged and I'm so ashamed. Oh, I could be the most important thing in the air that you breathe, or the food that you eat, or the place
place where you sleep, or the dreams that make you cry and wake up. I'm so enraged and I'm so ashamed. Why am I not the most important thing in the air that you breathe, or the food that you eat, or the place where you sleep, or the dreams that make you cry and wake up? Just let me be your biggest mistake. I'm the scientist.
That was your weepy song.
That was that. Yeah, that's the, I always call it the tear in my beer song whenever I play a bar. If I play a coffee shop, it's tear.
Nice. Okay, so let's talk about collaborating with other musicians. You start out as a guy with a guitar, and do you want some water, man?
Yeah, do you have some?
Yeah.
Oh, you were a miracle wrapped in a blessing.
Disease free upon last check.
Cool.
So. Yeah, it starts out with you're this guy with these crazy stories, and you teach yourself how to play guitar so that you can turn those stories into songs. But it's not enough, right? You want bass, you want drums, you want something to fill out the sound. How do you do that? And how did you do that?
I didn't actually start as one guy and one guitar. When I first started playing guitar, 2 weeks into it, I got a guitar for Christmas. Cherry red Squire Stratocaster. Didn't know it at the time, piece of crap. Beautiful guitar in my eyes at the time, because it was that first step aboard the Black Pearl when it was liberating.
Sounds like a great guitar, just the name.
Well, it looks really, really cool, and that is one thing it's got over this. And I just started playing, and I'm like, oh, this is so awesome. Oh, I can't play very well. And I went to, I was still a junior in high school, and I talked to my friend Mike. I was like, hey, I got a guitar for Christmas. And he's like, oh, really? Well, let's, do you want to jam? I'm like, sure. He's like, well, what kind of music do you like? Oh, I like the Weaker Thans. I like Ted Leo. I still am into the Hives. They're fun. At the time, they were like my number one band, worshipped them. And he said, oh, dude, that sounds really good. Let's jam. And we played together in my garage with a bass pedal as a drummer for like a metronome or a drum machine on his bass pedal. We played together like that for something like 5 months. We went through like a drummer who played with us for one day and then flaked out. We recorded a really embarrassing demo. God. I can't listen to it anymore because it's just like, yeah, that's dumb. That's off. I completely dropped it right there. Did you notice? There's actually like one moment on the CD where everything is on time, and it's like the eye of the hurricane. It's like, oh, it sounds so good. Oh, it's continuing. Okay.
Should take that moment and loop it and turn it into a techno song.
It would have been a really boring techno song because it's just four notes. It was just, and then I dropped the beat. So we played together for a long time until we met this girl, Lindsay. And she was really into Jimmy Eat World, and we agreed on that, and we played together, and we liked it, and we started playing shows together, and it was really exciting, because we all were, like, Lindsay, I would say, was the best musician among us. She'd been playing drums for, I think, she was, like, playing for 6 years. I'd been playing for two by the time I met her. So we were pretty good, and by the time we started actually getting shows going, we were getting pretty decent, but as dramatics go, we were not meant for each other. I made a choice between my best friend, Aaron, who's a very intelligent man, very wonderful, good guy. Hi, Aaron. I know you're listening. He's been like my manager. He's been my source of advice. He knows the industry pretty well, and he can tell me, no, this is what you need to do right now. And my drummer and my bassist didn't like that we were going as slowly as we were, because we were gaining momentum, but we weren't going the speed they wanted to. Like, they wanted to play the bigger places like the Galaxy and Chain Reaction, and we couldn't fill it up with people just yet, so we wouldn't have ended up paying like $200 per show.
Right.
So eventually I had to choose between my drummer and my best friend, and I let go of my drummer, and I immediately started looking around for other people. And I met some really great musicians. I met some horrid, god-awful musicians. I met some musicians who actually stopped playing with me to smoke weed.
Well, what do you think would make a good addition to Countless Thousands? Like, what do you look for
in that wistful, starry-eyed drummers on the radio right now going, well, gee, that could be me.
Well, I'm just curious, like, what is it that, because a lot of bands kind of think of, especially of the drummer, as just kind of an accessory.
Oh, hell no.
No, a lot of bands do. I'm not saying that's true. I'm not saying that's the right way to look at it, but
right,
a lot of bands think of the drummer as like, okay, we're the band, and then here's the person that keeps the beat for us. Which is not a very musical way of looking at things, but it does exist. And then there's, you know, the opposite of that, which is, you know, we don't exist, you know, without the drummer at all. Like, what do you want? And not just in terms of drums, but in any other instrument, like, what do you want? Since Countless Thousands is a reflection of you and your writing, what do you want the other musicians to contribute to it?
I want them to basically just come in with an attitude of, let's play music. Let's do it for the sake of playing great music, and we'll do whatever we have to do to keep playing music. Because that's always been my number one priority, was I need to satisfy this urge that I only get, or that I can only do so when I'm... know, hitting something really hard, or hitting that high note, or making an ass of myself in front of 20, 30, occasionally 60 people. And, you know, it's gonna accelerate. I'm not the kind who's going to just give up easy, or I'm not going to, you know, that was a huge setback when I lost Mike and Lindsay, or rather when I booted them. But, I mean, I've gone through that. I've gone through another four drummers. It doesn't faze me. I mean, it's Countless Thousands is a reflection of just me right now, because I'm not going to let anything stop me from playing music. And I'm kind of a, you know, I don't want to say powerhouse, but that's the only word that's coming to my head. I have to do it. And if I find people who also have to play music and have to do it well, and or like who have a good sense of musicianship and who are just excited to play music, and that's really what I'm looking for. And someone who can, you know, keep up with me musicianship-wise.
Yeah, no, I think definitely in music, or really any art form, it's sort of, if you can imagine yourself doing anything else, you should probably do that other thing, you know, because the only reason to do it is that right. That need to do it.
I'm waiting tables right now because I'm, you know, getting my degree so that I can get a 9-to-5 so that I can rock out on the nights and weekends until I get to the point where I can rock out 9-to-5. Or rather, those few hours a day when I'm not in the van.
Why don't we play a track from the CD that you brought in?
Okay.
Just hear something that you laid down, and take a little break. And then we come back, we'll talk about your experience, your early experiences playing live, and how they've changed with time, as I'm sure they have.
And how they
and
have
we'll do a bunch more live songs as
okay.
well.
What track 4.
Okay, what are we about to listen to?
We are about to listen to one of the songs with one of my favorite lyrics ever. It's called Fickle. And it's about a really bad, well, not a bad dream, but a dream that really, really pissed me off. And I woke
a
up.
A dream
like,
that pissed you off?
A dream that pissed me off like you wouldn't believe. So, yeah, man.
Awesome.
This is with, I suppose I'll give a shout out. This is with Mike Millar and Lindsay Spence back in the day. So,
you're
cheers.
Listening to Is Good on killradio.org. This is Countless Thousands.
Woo!
Twilight hours, and sharp knives are not allowed to see.
And we're back on Is Good on killradio.org. We're hanging out with Countless Thousands. We were just talking during the little break about trends and how people seem to make... It's very common for people to make music that's popular now with the misled conception that it's going to continue to be popular. Like in a style that's not truly their own, but they're trying to emulate because maybe that'll get them on the radio. But then what are they going to do after that?
Right. I might steal, but at least I steal from the best.
That's good. So. I want to talk to you a little bit about playing live in front of people. I mean, you know, it was just you and your friends, and then you had some other people, but you were still, you know, you got your sound together. What were those early experiences when you actually went to, you convinced a bar or a nightclub to put you on a stage?
Any musician will tell you it was erotic, embarrassing. Erratic, not erotic, excuse me.
It's a very sexual experience for everybody.
Well, I was certainly very sweaty. I have the pictures that my sister took of... We played a benefit show for one of my friends who was stuck out in on the other side of the country. And it was in the back room of a music store with fluorescent lights. It was about the size of this room right here. Which, it's a big room, but with the band and...
It's a small room.
It was quite small. And when I play music, my hair inflates. And just in general, it's just like, oh my God, this is so... And I didn't stop talking, ever. I don't stop talking when I play because it's fun. But I do it now more out of just to be entertaining and try and, you know, have fun and enjoy it.
Were you very nervous those first couple times?
Oh God, yeah. I'm nervous right now, if you can tell, but... Yeah, the first couple times are always going to be awful. You're always going to go, oh, God, what were we doing? Why did we do this? But if you just keep going past that, we kept going past that. And
when did you start to feel like, okay, maybe I'm onto something here? Like, did you have an audience member come up to you and say, oh, that was really, really good? Or what was sort of a turning point for you?
My brother Aaron has been in the boardrooms of places like Epic Records, and I didn't know it at the time. I gave him a CD of like some demos I'd done at home, and he told me, you will never appreciate this, but you write great music. And at the time I was like, that's awesome, all right, one more fan. But what I didn't know then was that he was signing himself up to just be like a principal ally for life and just spur me on when I was feeling low. And just because, like, I always enjoy, like, I want to say 3.5 years after I started playing guitar, I wrote the first song that I actually liked. It was that song Fickle that we just played. And I was like, wait a second, I wrote that. Let me do it again. Ooh, that is good. And it was really encouraging because I had been writing before that, writing short stories. And my first short stories were awful. Just god awful, you know, 2-page stories about alternate endings to The Wizard of Oz, and reading them, like, it's funny, it's just like, but I knew I had really far to go, and I looked at that, at my writing, and I knew that music would be the same way, that I would eventually, you know, hone my skill to the point of being satisfied with my own work. And Aaron had a lot to do with it, but I think the moment that sealed it was, I was playing a show at this place, Deep Piazzas, in Long Beach. Great place to play, by the way. Thanks, Mark. You're amazing. And during the outro of my last song, my guitar cut out for inexplicable reasons. It was the outro, so we had about a minute to kill. And so I, you know, grabbed the mic and started doing that whole thing with the rock and roll. And eventually, during the instrumental outro, I was like, oh, screw this. And I put down my electric guitar. I grabbed my acoustic and I jumped into the crowd and started strumming as hard as I could to try and match up with the loudness of what they were playing back there. And just the look in people's eyes was like, what are you doing? Oh, you know, like it was, and I was just like, holy crap, I'm in the audience and I'm playing really hard. It was just a really empowering feeling to take a mistake and turn it into like one of the coolest things that I can remember doing.
How do you like playing live, or are you more of a constructionist, putting songs together?
I have to play live. If I don't play a show in a month, then I am getting people aware of the show I'm playing next month. I love it. It kind of sucks right now because I'm stuck doing a solo act who's really, really energetic and over the top, can't match the volume of bigger bands, like four-piece bands. But it's also a bit more than the coffee shop fair that you find with, like, just people going, and I was walking down the street today.
Right, because you also use a lot of distortion. You also...
I did distortion, you know. But, like, even if I play acoustic, it's still really, like... My guitar hero was Chris Whitley, if you've ever listened to Chris Whitley. He's a master. He can fill up a room just with hammer-ons and pull-offs and just really complicated stuff and just hollers. And just that feeling that I get when I listen to him, just that enormous... The size of the sound, I've always tried to shoot for that. I know I'll never get there, but locally, I'm the, you know.
Is that hard when you book solo acts, solo shows?
It's really,
and,
yes.
And maybe they're expecting you to be more like that folk singer, and you know, it's like it's very important to be in the right place at the right time, especially if you're the only guy on stage. And maybe have you had that experience where, you know, you're too loud to be playing at Borders Books, but you're already on stage, so you don't know where to go.
That's never happened. But the really difficult thing is for me as one person to get people as excited about my music as... Because it's right now, as it is, I don't have the money to make really good recordings, the recordings I have in mind, and I can't be accessible to people who are used to four-piece bands, you know, drums, bass, guitar, vocals. It's going to happen, but I can't really say... I mean, I've passed out... God, I want to say I've passed out maybe 1,000 copies of my demo, just to get people like, well, this is what I want to do. But mm-hmm. There's a difference between this is what I want to do and this is what I'm doing. You know, It's not so much difficult with the venue owners or that kind of thing. It's like getting people. I mean, and I've got some great people who support me, and, you know, they're amazing. But like the people who are a little bit more detached from listening to music in general. Oh, God, that sounds so egotistical. But like it's just a lot more difficult for me to operate on the same level as four people, basically. Mm-hmm. Like, once I get a drummer and a bass player, we're going to be unstoppable. You know, they're going to pull their weight. We're going to...
Well, and if you can find players that understand what you're trying to do, and, you know, as a group, you have the same vision, that will come through in the music and in the performance.
Yes, that's the only thing that's really holding me back. I know I can succeed, and I know I... probably will succeed, and even if I don't succeed, then I'll just keep doing it for the sake of being loud and obnoxious and getting up on a stage and sweating and screaming and knocking over my drink and spilling it all over my leg and getting embarrassed but not caring, you know. And it's just a matter of time.
Sweat notwithstanding, why don't we do a little of that right now?
Cool.
Want to do another live song? What do you have?
Definitely. Let's do a song called Our Queen Complacence. This song is one of my Righteous Indignation songs. It's one of my favorites.
Go for it.
All right. To scratch blindness, think of how you got here. Your royalties built on the backs of friends and peasants, blood, sweat, and tears spilled, dried, and swept away. Raise a little castle in a land not far away. So far enough to hide, most deep enough to drown. Rule that tiny kingdom with that pacifying fist. Yeah, you long to find another drone to curse darkness with. Here I wonder what is happiness to you. Is it merely an avoidance of those caustic memories smoldering in your past? Was it worth it to abandon half your friends? Cause you didn't want or couldn't take challenge to be more than mediocre.
just mediocre. And your predecessor's stupid little game, doomed to repeat that which you used to learn from. And it might sound cruel, but at this point I just hope you don't have kids. And that salutes your cannonade. The dusty southern cheering wave, a glorious day begin the age when we shall never change. Our queen has found a king who won't ask questions about his scholars. And onward to obscurity. Faded colors, but hard to see. And when you die, will your genius be revealed? Will your worthlessness kill by then what could have been much more than mediocre? Just mediocre. Mediocre. Change. Our queen has found a king who won't ask questions about the scars. And onward to obscurity. With faded colors, but hard to see. And when you die, will your genius be revealed? Will your worthlessness kill by then what could have been much more than mediocre?
You're listening to Is Good on KillRadio.org. My guest is Countless Thousands.
Sorry for all the abrupt endings.
No, that's great. I love abrupt endings.
Okay, good.
I'm sorry for my. I have the sort of delayed reaction where I was like, "Oh, that song is over," and then I got to reach over and and do the, because I'm the producer, host, engineer, intern, pool towel boy at this show.
Do you have towels in here?
No, sorry, I'm not very good at that part of the job. So, you touched upon it a little earlier in the interview a couple times. Actually, it's sort of you have. It sounds like you have high expectations of yourself, that if you could just get the sort of, get the right group of people together so that you can record the kind of music you want to record and play the kind of music you want to play, then there's nothing to stop you. But what is the end game in your mind? Like, if you look at different bands, there's some bands where they just want to play all the time, and the fact that they're staying regional is fine as long as they're playing all the time. And then there are others who, you know, anything short of the cover of Rolling Stones is a failure. Where do you see Countless Thousands arriving?
I want to put myself in the same position that my three heroes are. My first hero, Chris Whitley, passed away about 2 years ago. Sorry, I need to lean. He started playing blues guitar when he was like 15, and he played music and made records right up until when he passed away. His last album, you can actually hear how like ill he is on the CD, just because he doesn't have the same like fire in the throat and the belly that he does in the earlier albums. And passed away very young. I believe he was only 40 or 50 or so. But I would want to put myself in that same position. I mean, I'll be doing Countless Thousands until, you know, Doomsday, Judgment Day, whatever you want to call it, Election 08.
So for you, it's about being known as a career musician.
Yes. My other two heroes are Ted Leo of Ted Leo and the Pharmacists. Played with Chisel, gave up on Chisel, well, not gave up, but moved on from Chisel and started Ted Leo and the Pharmacists. Hasn't stopped since. That's the guy who's closest in to my guitar style, I've found. My last is John Sampson of the Weaker Thans, who played in pop punk band, Propagandi, and then he left to go start a publishing company, And he eventually, you know, couldn't resist the call of music and went back to playing for another, not, you know, he's still playing today with the Weaker Thans. They're amazing, amazing, amazing lyricist himself and great songwriter. And it's been, he's put like 12 plus years of playing music under his belt. And I just want to, you know, I want to be the band that outlasts, you know, I want to be like Sleater-Kinney, amazing, I'll never surpass the Woods or All Hands in the Bad One or whatever. But I mean, they still decided to try their ventures. And but you know, Corin, or not Corin, Janet's still playing music. And you know, I just don't want to ever not be playing music.
What are some things that you think would be wise for you to avoid that might, you know, be obstacles in your journey toward being a career musician?
Gosh, I've never thought about that. I guess having Epic Records knocking my door tomorrow morning saying, we'll give you a complete package right now, tour with us right now.
Signing too early?
Signing too early, because, I mean, I'm almost done with college. But I, as, you know, I'd still have a lot of, you know, personal growth and development and that kind of thing before I'm really in a position that I can throw myself into it headlong. And, you know, if label interest comes along now, I'd be all over it. I just would want to do it on my terms, which is not exactly popular for
good luck
label.
With that.
Yeah. And, you know, my brother Aaron always said the worst thing that could happen to We Are Everyman was to get signed. Because it would have fallen apart, and I would be in a far worse position than I am right now. So I've taken that lesson to heart, because our implosion was pretty gruesome. I was on a lot of meds, but that was because of a surgery I had. So I haven't really thought about obstacles. My biggest obstacle right now is not finding the folks that are going to go along with what I'm already doing. It sucks to jump into something that has a huge foundation already. So I can understand why a couple folks that I played with decided to bug out. But at the same time, you know, that's pretty much the only thing that's staring me down right now is, well, you're just one guy. Yeah, well, I'm just one guy. So I'm going to do everything I can right now.
Let's do another live song, and then we'll talk about where people can go see you live next couple shows.
How much time do we have left? Do we have time for two more?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
All right. I'm kind of... Here, let me get my... Yeah. Got to get the sweatshirt off if you hold that, my dear. I love how I brought my electric, and... actually, I think I'll do the last one with the electric, but... sorry.
What's this one called?
This one is called Prom Song. I wrote this one... actually like 3 weeks ago, and it's since become my favorite thing to play. Also a very intense band song. I recorded a really awful demo and put it up on MySpace. I'm not much of a drummer, and that really comes out in the demo and the horrible mics. I was in a rush to get it done because I was like, okay, it's awesome, I need to get it out, and it, you know, came out all mangled. So but, yeah.
You can make up for it right here.
Yeah, I'll stop talking now.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org, isgoodmusic.com. My guest is Countless Thousands.
Our adolescents masked in this evening's ball. Trust this final night that we pretend that we are royalty. The real world just beyond our diplomas. Childhood shedding balled up on the floor next to your something lost or stolen or fallen loose. We're invincible and asking, no begging for. Thank you. cheating with a lie. That magical night I should have just let you go home and die. Remember when you gave me your sleeping pills, the bottle full and hidden in your bed? Went straight home and flushed them and never told a soul. Help me help myself, you had said. And now this evening sees you just in your finery. I feel a surge of love and pride for saving so pristine a life. I vow to you the queen of recovery. Vowed I'd always be between you and the knife. Here's your last prom song. Here's your last prom song. Cause all my faith in you was wrong. And our naivety is composed like a symphony. Your cowardice conducting the slow and tragic harmony. Your little war brought out the best in your friends, and we all enjoyed our part in the fantasy. Your royalty complacent, your queen of ease. Show me what weakness can do in its extreme. Now go off and fail in life cause you're dead to me. And our naivety is composed like a symphony. My orchestrated awkwardness can't stand you in that gorgeous dress. Playing our song, I'm cheek to cheek with a lie. The magical night I should've just let you fuck off and die.
Another abrupt ending, I know.
Oh, sorry. But that one's a classic.
Yeah. I played that for the first time.
That's how you abruptly end something.
That is actually. I played that for the first time last week. And I just saw everyone in the audience go, oh. Because my 7-year-old cousin was there. I didn't know he was there.
Awesome.
My 13-year-old, my 15-year-old cousin, my sister, who really is dramatic. Oh, well, there's a 7-year-old present. I'm like, yeah, sorry. That's how the song ends, though.
Well, you got to take risks mm-hmm. in music.
It's a very angry song, but it's, I think, my favorite Righteous Indignation song. So,
where can people go see you play live next?
I am playing at the Solar, or I'm sorry, not the Solar.
You already did that. Huh? You've played there before.
I have played there. I don't want to talk about that.
Okay. I just remember seeing, I saw it on your page before.
Yes, I have played at the Soul Art Cafe before. I am playing at the Santa Fe Cafe on the 12th. And right now I'm trying to get in touch with Mark DiPiazza of DiPiazza's in Long Beach to put together a show with my good friends, the Main Street Lights, who helped me out at my last show, who played drums at my last show. Thanks, James. Thanks, Joe. And Kicked Out, which is the name of the band that Mike and Lindsay, my former bassist and drummer, have started.
Oh.
Yes. The name is Kicked Out.
Wow.
Yeah.
You started a tidal wave, huh?
I'm kind of a tidal wave.
Let's talk a little bit before we run out of time, and I want to get one more live song out of you, but okay. I want to ask you about promoting and sort of challenges and actually getting people there to see you play, even people that you may not even know. Like, what do you like as a reference on your MySpace page to even baking cookies for your fans, which I want to thank you for. You've done for me as well, which is very cool. But you can't bake cookies for everyone, man. So what do you do?
Unfortunately, yeah. The last time I baked a certain club, they kicked them out. Which is a big shame because they were really, really good. I do what I can. MySpace has undone all the damage that the iPod has.
How do you mean?
Well, like with the iPod, people don't carry around CD players anymore.
Right.
It's not as central medium. So if I pass out CDs to people, it's that much less likely to be played.
Because they have to first take it home, upload it to their iTunes, download it to their iPod, and then listen to it.
And granted, I've gotten a lot, and there's still, it's still ubiquitous, the CD player. But with MySpace, I can just say, just go on MySpace, and there are 4 songs waiting for you. Pretty much, I keep a stash of CDs in my car. Whenever I play a show, I always burn at least 30, 40 CDs, and I pass them out to the people who were there, whether or not they want it. because I know I can't promote as much as I'd like to right now, and I can't get as many people as I can, but I can certainly plant seeds.
And has that have you seen that work in action? Have you seen someone come to a show because you gave them a CD? Like one person out of a certain population? Like if it's one person, it's
one
almost
person,
worth it.
Yeah. I actually, yeah, they were like, wait a second. And they hit me up online. You gave me a CD. I remember I went to, oh, that's right. I played, I went to the show with the band I'll be playing on, the New Age Chant. And I played, they asked people to come up and dance on one of their songs, and no one did, and I did, because I wanted to dance. And I had people coming up to me afterwards saying, you were so good. I'm like, I'm not even in the band. Why are you telling me this? But here's the CD, and here's my website. Go there. And the next time I went to go see them play, they got me in as a band member, and I played tambourine for them and rocked it. It's one of my favorite things to do. As a solo musician, I'm not worried about embarrassing my bandmates. So I can go on stage with other bands and rock a tambo like you wouldn't believe.
Nice.
And I know I can't, like I said, I can't do as much as I could with a band right now. So basically, I'm passing out 1,000 CDs. I'm going to pass out another 1,000 CDs so that when I have a band, when I am getting shows at Chain Reaction, the Galaxy, Knitting Factory, all that good stuff, I'll have that name recognition. People go, wait a minute, I saw this guy when it was just one guy and it was good, and I have this CD, I'll listen to it again. Oh wow, this is really good. So
and hopefully by that time you'll even be better.
Yeah, well,
I mean, if you found that your music has changed better, you know, like even within the last year, just what, the way you approach your music has probably changed.
Yes, I like to think so. Every show I always say on the MySpace, God bless you, Tom, this show was good, but it was practice for the next show.
Awesome.
You know, that's...
Well, we're about out of time, so I want to get one more live song out of you. My guess is Countless Thousands. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org.
All right.
We're going to use the amp on this one?
Let's just do acoustic.
All right.
I'm feeling salty. I brought that in. The lights are on, but I think it's just for show.
That's fine. Pretty. What are you going to play?
I'm torn between Sylvia Plath and A Ready Retort. What do you think?
Yes.
What do you think, hon? Ready Retort or Sylvia Plath? Pick one.
Ready Retort.
All right, we'll play the Ready Retort.
Let's do it.
See how professional I am? I love it. Desperately need. The calm beside my phone, my faith betrayed, I'm lost at sea. Though it's always by my side, my anger's not much company. Face is much to blame. It's all our flakiness, but still, the ebb and flow of good intent ruin me here alone, and I raise my helpless sail. Empty gestures kill. Surprise me once full bell. What you say, you will. Thank you. abrupt ending as well, I'm afraid.
Say it ain't so. My guest has been Countless Thousands. Mike, thanks so much for coming
Dude,
in, sharing your music
so
with
much.
Us.
I had a really good time, man. Thanks.
This is the sound of men shaking hands
and
on
you're
the
a
stage.
Beautiful man, by the way. If I'm gonna be so bold.
Thank you so much. You've been listening to Is Good on killradio.org. This episode will be available for download a couple hours from now from isgoodmusic.com. So go ahead and listen to it again. Tell your friends about it. Please.
Please visit Countless Thousands on the radio, www.myspace.com/countlessthousands. Got a show coming up. Got an old CD track up. Got some homemade demos. So, and they're all good. And some funny pictures. So enjoy.